Hello there, we're in the World House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's a privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And do what? Fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. And fight for your... Who is ready to fight for his family tonight? The entire fight that is taking place today between Israel and Hamas is a fight to recover their family. True or false? Their family were having a party. Some enemies came and arrested. They killed some and kidnapped others. For the last 1 year, they've been fighting for their family. If you truly love your family, listen to this. Nothing is too much to do for their safety and their preservation. For the last time, how many of you are ready to fight tonight for your family? You ready?
Yes, sir.
Father, bless us tonight. Change us tonight. Secure our families tonight. And let tonight be a pivotal historic day for the destiny of our children, born and unborn. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I can't hear your amen. Please sit down. In the next 5 minutes, I will introduce. After then, we are going to start the fight. Now, you all recall our text is in Isaiah 42, verse 22. You recall that? Isaiah 42, 22. Put it on the screen. That's our text. He said, this is a people that are robbed. This is a people that are spoiled. This is a people that all of them are hiding in holes. He says, they are hid inside prison houses. Therefore, they pray. And the reason why that is happening is that there's nobody in the family to deliver them. He says, they are for a spoil because nobody in the family has the audacity to shout, restore, restore, restore. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, I'm going to cut a lot of things and make it as brief as possible. But listen to this. You know, when the church began, the Christians at the time did not understand the power of fighting for their family. So, everybody listen. The Bible said Herod arrested a gentleman called James, the younger brother of Jesus. And the church said, Jesus has already died for him. Nobody can kill him. They said, it is written in the word of God, nobody can kill him. We don't need to do anything. Jesus has paid the price. Before their two eyes, the Bible said with the sword, they beheaded James. The Bible said when they saw that it pleased the Jews, they now picked up Peter and say, the people did not fight for their family. Let's take them out one by one. By the time they took Peter, the church realized that even though Christ has died for us, and the Bible says it is finished, even though we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly realms, the church realized that the same Paul who told us that the fight is finished, guess what? That same Paul also told us there is a war to fight. He said the weapons of our warfare, so there's a warfare to fight. That same Paul also told us, ladies and gentlemen, that even though the scripture says Jesus did everything for us, we wrestle not against. There's a wrestling to do. That same Paul told us, ladies and gentlemen, resist the devil. There's a resisting to do. And guess what? He's not saying we are repeating what Jesus did. He's simply saying it's called the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith is not a fight for victory. It's a fight from victory. We are fighting because we have victory. Why? Because every time the word of God comes to you prophetically, God is giving you that word as a weapon for you to do warfare with it. We had that last two Sundays. Is it last Sunday or last two Sundays ago? That was last Sunday, am I right? Or two Sundays ago? Amen. I said amen. And that's why tonight, I want to take you into, maybe I'll do like five of the battles. I have 10 of them. About five of the battles we must fight for our family. And tonight, I have a long list of them, but I'm just going to take maybe like five of them because I can't deal with all of them as a matter of time. But ladies and gentlemen, the first fight you want to fight tonight for your family, we're still ready to fight here. Now, let me remind you, if you go back on my slide, I hope you realize that you are the priest of your family. Anybody knows that? The Bible says you are stewards of the mystery of God. The Bible says you are an oracle of God. If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle. 1 Peter 2 says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. How many of you are aware that your family is depending on you for their survival? Anybody knows that here? How many of you know that the destiny of your family is right now in your hands? And God has brought you tonight because of a death that must be averted in 2025. A loss of pregnancy that must be averted in 2026. An accident that must not take place in 2027. Your father's life that must not be cut short by prostate. And your mother that must not go down with breast cancer. Somebody's, if you're the destiny of your family is in your hands. I will take only five out of the battles. And we are going to run tonight. Are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there? The first battle I'm dealing with tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is called the battle to restore your star. Everybody say star. Oh my God, are you still there, sister? Now, before I do that, I think it's important I make this clear. Because when I lead you now, there will be no time to tell you how to restore. But listen to this. There are four major tools we're engaging tonight. Number one, we are taking repentance. Everybody say repentance. So on behalf of your family, if you read the book of Nehemiah, you see the details of taking repentance. You will take repentance on behalf of your family where necessary. It's not in all times, it's necessary. Number two, you bring down the existing demonic altars. All this is on my slides. Number three, you raise an altar for God. And finally, you will establish the rule of God. And establishing the rule of God, we are going to be shouting, restore, restore. That's the pattern of our battle tonight. Amen. How many of you have seen women fight before? Anybody seen women fight before? When men fight, there are a few rules of engagement. But when a woman is fighting, how many of you know it like this? Biting, pinching, scratching, and stripping naked. All of them are involved. Am I right? Women have no rules for fighting. Men would do like this. I'll deal with you, man. So tonight, I'm simply saying that to say you have permission to fight anyhow. Is anybody hearing me? Because you see, when there is danger, you're not looking at rules and regulations. You're looking at how you can recover. And tonight, restoration must take place. I said it must take place. For the last time, it must take place. The first battle tonight is a battle over your family. Somebody say fight. Come on, are you ready to fight tonight? The restoration of the star, of your star. Of your star. Pastor, what exactly are you talking about? The Bible told us when Jesus was born, Matthew chapter 2 verse 1, says that three wise men saw his star and they began to follow the star. The Bible didn't tell us they are Christians. There's nowhere it's mentioned that they are Christians. But they are good people. Some translators actually say they are magicians. Or they are Eastern whatever. But whatever it is, these wise men saw his star and began to trail the star. Until they trailed the star to where exactly the baby was. But they were not the only ones looking for the star. Herod got word that a star, who is supposed to be a king, is born. Herod said, please, anytime you people find the star, me too, I'm looking for it. Come and inform me. So let me say this to Apostle, I'm so sorry I didn't acknowledge you. Please help me acknowledge man of God, Apostle of Fodil in the house. Please, I'm so sorry I didn't acknowledge him. Thank you, sir. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Are you still with me, somebody? Anytime a star is born, both the good people and bad people are trailing the star. Are you in church tonight? When a star arises in your family, wise men are interested, but Herod is also interested. Both Herod was looking for the star. and the wise men. Now, please, everybody follow me. Eventually, they trailed the star. But when they got there, God now told those wise men, don't mind that guy that said, inform me. Herod is seeking this child to kill this child. Don't return back the same road that you pass. Look for another road. Why? Because this other guy is not looking for this star for good. They're looking for the star for evil. Are you with me, somebody? Now, ladies and gentlemen, are you aware? One of the greatest stars of the Old Testament is a man by the name of Elijah. Everybody say Elijah. Elijah means Yahweh is God. This star came from nowhere. Everybody was involved in idolatry. The entire land had gone bad, but this guy was standing out in the midst of that. He said, listen, because of this rubbish going on, according to my word, there will be no rain until I change my mind. And suddenly, there was no rain anywhere. And guess what? You know the rest of the story. Eventually, this man came out 2.5 years, three and a half years later, and said, you know what, let us actually prove to these people who truly is God. He called for a contest of all the worshippers of Baal, including himself, and he showed up in Mount Carmel. He called fire. You know the story, am I correct? And eventually they decided who truly was God. The Lord is God. The Lord is God. And the Bible says fire fell from heaven. Tonight, can I announce to somebody, fire will fall on the altar of your family. Fire is coming on the altar of your family. But this is not even the point. The point was that immediately after Herod, Elijah slaughtered the prophets of Baal, Jezebel said, wallahi, may God punish me if by this time tomorrow I have not beheaded you the way you did to my priests or my prophets. And Elijah ran away. And he ran away to the point he said, God, I'm no better than my fathers. Take me, I want to go. Not be by force, they go do ministry. Are you still there, somebody? God took Elijah away. Are you still there, somebody? And in the long and short of it, Jezebel died. But how many of you know that in the New Testament, the first star that rose was not Jesus. The first star that rose was John the Baptist. He was the one, the Bible says, of every man born of a woman, he was the greatest of all of them. And guess what? But the Bible now told us a strange thing about him. That he actually came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Meaning, if this man actually came in the power of Elijah, that means that woman that wanted to kill him also has also come in the spirit and the power of somebody else. We are to find out later that that person is called Herodias. Pastor, why did you say that? The name Herodias in the Hebrew means monitoring, to watch over. Don't forget where we started from. Three wise men were monitoring the star of Jesus until they spotted it. Herod too was monitoring the star. A lady called Herodias, meaning monitoring, also was born. And she too came in the spirit of Jezebel because they operated the same anointing. And she was monitoring the star of the New Testament. Cut a long story short, she was looking for opportunity to kill him. The king told her, I'm afraid of the people, Lord, because this man is a prophet. Everybody respects him. And eventually, the Bible says something happened. And Herod the king arrested a gentleman called John the Baptist. But for fear of the people, he didn't touch him, waiting for an opportune time. Meanwhile, Herodias, monitoring spirit, who has been following this Elijah, who has now resurrected in the spirit and the power of now John the Baptist, she has been waiting for a time where she will finally fulfill that promise she made when she said, wallahi. Is anybody hearing me? Cut a long story short, ladies and gentlemen. This man, it was the time for Herod's birthday, and Herod said, let the people come and dance. One little girl. And the Bible didn't give us a name. The Bible just told us she's the daughter of Herodias. She came to dance. When she finished dancing, Herod said, come on. Anything you want, I will give it to you. She returned back to the mother, and the mother said, what's wrong with you? It's a long time we have been monitoring this star. I missed him in the Old Testament. They took chariot, he took off. But he thought he would run forever. Since then, I came back. My name is Herodias. I monitor. I've been following the star. And I've been looking for the opportune time to take out the star. Ladies and gentlemen, that time finally came. When the little girl, her daughter, came back and said, The king said he will give me anything. He's so impressed with my dance. What do you want? He said, collect the head of John the Baptist. Ladies and gentlemen, you know the bad thing about stars is that they are the prime targets of the devil. Who is a star? A star is that man in your family. That the success of that man is the success of everybody. A star is that person in your family. That if that man rises, everybody rises in the family. A star is that person in your family. That if anything happens to him, everybody in the family will suffer. Are you still there, somebody? And listen to this. When you are the star in your family, two people are interested in you. Both the wise men and Herod. And guess what? They are following you and they are monitoring you, waiting for the day. You know, an incident happened 2 weeks ago. Please, you will show me that video, but please go offline. I don't want everybody to see it. You will show me that video. An incident happened about 2 weeks ago that broke our hearts, both as a family, also and as a church. Please take off the whatever. I don't want a life. And an incident happened. Please, I just want you to watch this. Everybody say star. A star, ladies and gentlemen, is that special one. We're so blessed. We're so good. In fact, all through the scriptures, the Bible calls stars several names. One of the names it calls him is a precious life. It says the adulteress does not hunt for everybody. She only hunts for the precious life. It's the star in the family. Is anybody hearing me? Please talk to me. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me, somebody? Who is a star? Who is a star? A star is the precious one. A star is called a king. This is what Solomon told Solomon's mother, Bathsheba, told him. She said in Proverbs 31, give not your strength to women or your ways to that which destroy kings. She doesn't destroy everybody. She looks for the star, the king in the family. That's the person she destroys. Is anybody hearing me? Who is a star? A star is that person that comes with the spirit of excellence. He excels in all he does. Anything he's doing is excellent. That was why when in Genesis 49, Jacob was placing a curse on Reuben, he said, you are the excellency of dignity. You are supposed to be the star of the family. You are the firstborn. You are the one that has the double portion. But now you mess up. He said you will no longer excel. But you are the excellency of power and the excellency of dignity. But this happened. What Reuben did not know was that being the star, the devil was trailing him, looking for where to bring him out. Is anybody hearing me? Please watch this video in 1 second or 1 minute and I'll continue. Please watch this video. I hope you are offline. My lady, you are a queen. Anything you want, just let me die. You can cut. Everybody look up here. 2 weeks ago, this guy is a star in his family. He took a bus from Lagos coming towards the east. At night mile, that bus somersaulted. That bus caught fire. For about a week, we're looking for him. Eventually, the road safety people finally told us that a Peace Mass Transit bus caught fire on that Tuesday night. Number one, it was roasted beyond recognition. 80% of the people were beyond recognition. Number two, the villagers said they can't take these ones to mortuary. They dug ground by the roadside and buried him. No grave, no corpse, no wife, no children, no nothing. I don't want to go into details, that guy's one of the most promising young men beginning to rise in his family. But every time his star is rising, two people are interested. Number one, the wise men. Number two, Herod. That's why every time the devil wants to strike, he doesn't strike anyhow. He looks for the star in the family. Is anybody hearing me? Come on, is anybody hearing me? Tonight, we are here to... That is one level. But how many of you know on the second level, every family is also born with a star? Anybody knows that? Every family comes with a glory and comes with a star. And the first thing the devil does is to make sure it destroys the family star. But tonight you are here to fight for your family. Is anybody hearing me? Come on, is anybody hearing me? Are you hearing me, somebody? Lift up your right hand and declare after me, say, Heavenly Father. I can't hear you say, Heavenly Father. My God, say, Heavenly Father. I stand tonight and I declare prophetically, in the name that is above every other name, no devil will quench my star. No devil will put off my star. No devil will stop me. In the name of Jesus Christ, anything and everything that will make me go out of alignment and enter into the hands of the devil for him to take me out, I declare tonight, restore, 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 restore. Let the mercy of God fight for me. Let the mercy of God prevail for me. Let the mercy of God bring deliverance to me. In the name of Jesus. Can you shout a loud amen, somebody? Let me tell you where John the Baptist missed it. John the Baptist was a voice in the wilderness, because I'm going to tell you how that big star, first star of the New Testament, how a little girl took off his head. John the Baptist was a voice in the wilderness, but John the Baptist left his cover in the wilderness and decided to come to the palace. Paul the apostle was called to minister in the palace. Apart from Gentiles, he said, I will take you to places where you minister to kings and priests. John the Baptist didn't have that covering. He went and began to preach. And Herod said, you are talking to me like that. I will show you that I'm not the governor of this place in vain. Why? Because John the Baptist had no business in the palace. His calling was in the wilderness. The moment he crossed that line, his cover was taken away. And guess what? It was a cheap, small damsel that took off his head. Anywhere, lift up your right hand. Say anywhere. I went out of cover, out of alignment, out of order, out of obedience, out of instruction. Oh God, I take repentance. I take repentance. Anywhere my family went out of alignment, went out of order, anywhere my family was exposed from our star, tonight, on behalf of my family, I take repentance. I take repentance. And now, on this conference, I declare, restore, restore the glory of my family. Restore, restore, restore. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I said, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the second thing I want to take you through for restoration, ladies and gentlemen, is the pattern of barrenness. Everybody say barrenness. Everybody say barrenness. For the last time, say barrenness. The pattern of generational barrenness is terrible. Are you aware that Abraham got married, his wife was barren? His son Isaac got married, the wife was also barren. Jacob got married, the two wives were also barren, until God began to intervene. And that pattern of barrenness began to haunt the family from generation to generation. Are you still there, somebody? But it was Isaac who found the secret. Isaac said, when your wife is barren, you know, Isaac initially thought that this particular baby was a normal baby. So Isaac went to the doctors, and some of them said, the problem of that child is polycystic ovary syndrome, PCOS. Another person said, endometriosis. Another doctor said, premature ovarian failure, POF. Another one said, uterine fibroid, thyroid disorder, pelvic inflammatory disease, cervical stenosis, hyperproclatemia, uterine anomalies. While the doctors were speaking grammar, Isaac began to seek the face of God. And God said, It's not an ordinary child that's to be born. It's a nation. It's nations that are about to be born. This nation is not a normal nation. They're going to be the wealthiest and the most intelligent people on the face of the earth. They're going to be the only nation who has the old covenant, the Bible, as their code of operation. They're going to be the environment that will produce the Messiah. That's why the devil is fighting him. Are you aware that every time the devil attacks your productivity and fertility, it's because there's something prophetic and something prophetic that you're about to give birth to? Stretch your two hands in front of you. I prophesy. Some of you ought to be standing, not sitting down. Everywhere the devil, no, put your hands in your stomach. Everywhere the devil is attacking your life with barrenness, with unfruitfulness, with unproductivity. Say, oh God. One hand on your stomach, one hand, say, oh God. In the name of Jesus, in every way, the enemy is attacking my family with barrenness, with unproductivity, unfruitfulness. Tonight, I come against it. I come against it. I come against it. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. And now I shout over my life, over my family, restore, 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 in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Shout amen, somebody.
Amen.
You don't need to sit down. The next pattern we want to deal with is called the pattern of immorality. Everybody say immorality.
Amen.
Have you noticed, when I was trying to tell you who is a star, I took you through the book of Proverbs. And I was trying to introduce who a star is to you. The first one I showed you was in Proverbs 7. It said, the adulteress will hunt for a precious life. Not anybody. Bathsheba said to her son, he said, listen, run away from that which destroys kings. He said, because if you are destined to be a king, there's something that will destroy you. And then we read also about Reuben. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's not even my concern as I deal with this. Across Africa, because of the virus and the cancer called polygamy, one of the major things that have destroyed the glory of our families is called immorality. Ladies and gentlemen, David was supposed to go to war. You know the story. The Bible says he refused to go, and then he saw this married woman, took her and slept with her. To cover his track, David decided to arrange the death of the husband. Are you still there, somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, a few years later, his firstborn called Amnon, who should succeed him as king, woke up one morning and the only person he felt like sleeping with was his half-sister. It wasn't ordinary. David has started something. Is anybody hearing me? David started something. Cut a long story short, the Bible said to us that he raped his sister. After raping his sister, 2 years later, his other brother called Absalom killed him. So notice the pattern. Immorality, death. Immorality, death. Because a cycle has been started. First, it starts with immorality, then it leads to death. If you go down in the history, as a result of what Absalom did by killing his brother, Absalom took off. But after taking off, that was not the end. He planned a coup against his own father. And when he seemed to have succeeded in the coup, the prophet Ahithophel said, how to show your father Shege? Sleep with all his wives on top of the roof before everybody. Absalom took off his pants before the whole Israel and slept with all his father's wife. Immorality. The next thing that followed, they killed him in battle. Immorality, death. Immorality, death. Immorality, death. As soon as he died, please listen to this. David was getting old, but has not declared who is going to become king. Adonijah, another of his son, now came and said, you know what? I'm the king. Immediately, they slaughtered him another death. Solomon was announced the king. Solomon was a man who loved God. But ladies and gentlemen, it didn't take long. Solomon had only one wife for a start. He now said, fat women need a nice. I need a slim one. He got a slim one. He said, no, slim one, two legbashers. Tall one is better. Cut a long story short, he experimented with 700 wives and 300 concubines. After writing a book of Proverbs that we should not touch women. Are you still there, somebody? Not be ordinary eye. Now something they follow arm. Is anybody hearing me? You would have thought that the stupidity will stop there. Read on. David, the person who took over from Solomon, his name is called Rehoboam. That one is stupidity divided the kingdom into two. I don't want to go into all that. But on and on, that nonsense began to haunt the family. Immorality, death. Immorality, death. The Bible actually said that through adultery, a man will be reduced to a piece of bread. It takes your star. It dims your star. It quenches your light. It takes away the shine out of your destiny. Are you in church tonight? Lift up your right hand. Say, oh God, in the name of Jesus, every foundation, every pattern of immorality in my lineage, in my family, that is responsible for the cycle of death, for the cycle of diminishing, for the cycle of immorality, for the cycle of not moving forward. Tonight, I take repentance. I take repentance. I take repentance. And now in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I silence every altar speaking against my family. I raise a new altar founded on the blood of Jesus, founded on the sacrifice of Calvary. And now I declare concerning my family, concerning my home, concerning my household, concerning my life, restore, restore, restore. Can you turn that into a prayer? Say, restore. Shakata meneko sedebede. Intambrosete meneko siya. Iprende ko salamana koshi. Repele meneko sodo. Epretetetete. Gere meneko sobroko sutala. Ashanta brata minanuns. Epele meneko sitaye. Rebelia sulemantea. Ashapalito mekese. Hey! Shout, restore! I can't hear you say restore. I thought you came to fight for your family. You look like you came to play for your family. Listen, guys. Listen, listen, listen. The contention over the destiny of your family is real. Is anybody hearing me? Isaiah 42 said they are hiding in holes. They are taking like a prey. For how long are we going to keep watching people die like chicken in your family? For how long are we going to see beautiful girls with all the right things in the right places and the right education and character not getting married? For how long? For how long will people in the family, everybody that gets married gives birth to only one child? You think it's an accident? Please talk to me. For how long will we have graduates who with their big certificates amount to nothing? Are you still there? I want to deal with the pattern of idolatry. Everybody say idolatry. I can't hear you say idolatry. Say idolatry. I have no time. A gentleman called Gideon, Judges chapter 6. God came to him. The Philistines were ravaging. The Midianites were dealing with Israel. Israel had backslidden. And the Bible told us that they were hiding in caves from the Midianites. God came to this man and said, thou mighty man of valor, I've called you to redeem Israel. He said, look for another person. Not only am I the smallest person here, I came from the smallest family, and we are the smallest inside the family, so don't even go there. God said, go in this your mind. But just before you go, return back to your father's palace. There's a shrine there. You must first of all uproot it. Because if you don't get rid of idolatry and you want to fulfill my assignment, there's as far as you can go. Because there's a rope that is holding the leg of your family people. As long as this altar is existing, the rope will allow you to propose, except that you will never get married. The rope will allow you to graduate, except you will never amount to anything. That rope will even allow you to go to America, but you will return back begging. It will allow you to be able to get a PhD and end up as a driver inside one company. If you don't get rid of this altar, you're not going anywhere. That's what he told Gideon. Ladies and gentlemen, idolatry. I was as a young boy growing up, I'm sweeping my father's room. I'm kicking idols. And I was an unbeliever. But I knew this thing was demonic. As a man server in Catholic church, I knew it's a bad thing. I will break them. My father was who break my idol. I said, Mike, how can I break your idol? But guess what? I was breaking those things. I was angry with them. Because I knew that even as an unbeliever, this thing will stop our family. Ladies and gentlemen, idolatry is real. And it can stop your advancement. Is anybody hearing me? The bad news is that our children now willingly enter university. The first thing they join is a cult. Idolatry. And for them, it's a status symbol. But both them and their children, children after them, will suffer the consequence. And right here in this place are people who have sold their soul to Satan so that their Yahoo business can succeed. So they say, Babalawo, who has baited them, who has anointed them, idolatry. There are people here who consult all kinds of prayer houses for you to break through. Are you still there, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still there? Can you talk to me? Are you still there?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the most terrible one are those who are now inside their house. Pisces, Sagittarius, Libra, Zeo, Leo, Abi? Eh? Yeah. So their destiny is in the hands of a demonic personality. So you were born in August. You are actually Zebra. So let Zebra, and those things are real, because every time you believe in those things, let me tell you what it does. It simply just, you just hand over your soul to the enemy to begin to control you. He says, your relationship will break in August. Your boyfriend will leave you. And you said, amen. And so shall it be. Is anybody hearing me? There's a right way to understand the mystery of the stars. I don't. Or for the does. Me, I don't. My level never reached that level. But if you follow those things and give your soul to them without revelation, they will destroy your soul. It's called idolatry. Are you there, somebody? Lift up your right hand. Put down your right hand. Put down your right hand. I saw how everybody was dying in my family. My father died alcoholic. My elder brother died alcoholic. I was watching the pattern. And I knew that if I did not run to Jesus and renounce those things, I knew that I will end up like them. I vowed to God I will come out of it. Listen to this. Idolatry is real. Many of us have watched this pattern over and over in our family, and it's not taking us anywhere. Go check out villages that are still sold out to idolatry. Nobody prospers. Poverty is endemic. Death is endemic. All kinds of wickedness is endemic. You try to rise in that family, they take you out in those villages. Lift up your hands and say, oh God, I take repentance. I take repentance on behalf of my family for every idolatry. I take repentance on behalf of myself for every native doctor I have visited, for every babalawo I've consulted. Oh God, I take repentance in the name of Jesus. And now I destroy every altar of idolatry in my family, every altar of idolatry in my life. In the name of Jesus, I lift an altar of righteousness. I exalt the altar of Calvary over my family. And now I declare over my family, restore, 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 restore. Can you turn it into a prayer tonight? Jekete mene koseya, inamara kose pretene nesu. Repenene kosepeletia, inanako repene mene sule. Zedebende le kosiate, jelebrente ke sule brete kesia. Ratata lamana kasila bida. Edemenia koso brede mele koseta. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I said, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Come on, is anybody still with me tonight? I said, in Jesus' name we pray. Do you still love your family enough to do a little more fight for them? I said, are you still interested in your family enough to do some more fight for them? I want to talk about the battle of inheritance. The battle of inheritance. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a young man in the Bible, in the book of 1 Kings 21, called Naboth. Everybody say Naboth. What ended his life was a battle for inheritance. The king was interested in the father's land. The man said, no, I need a cell. Jezebel said, so, no problem. She set up a committee of people to lie against him, and he ended up dying. Everybody look up here. Look up here. One thing that has destroyed a lot of families is immediately after the father dies or the rich grandfather dies, that entire family scatters. Everybody goes for everybody's truth. And the battle of inheritance begins. People begin to die one after the other. They just start going one after the other. Who knows what I'm talking about? As a lawyer, I will tell you, the fastest way lawyers die is when they handle land cases. I've seen land cases swallow my lecturers, swallow my colleagues. Because when you put your head there, battles of inheritance. Some people have been fighting over that land for 25 years. And in 25 years, at least 13 people have died. And they are not seeing the track record. Is anybody hearing me? That's how when they came to Jesus, said, Who made me a divider or of inheritance among you? No, I'm not interested in those things. Is anybody still there? Talk to me, are you still there? For the last time, are you still there? Somebody said the battle of inheritance. I can't hear you say the battle of inheritance. Look up here, everybody. Every inheritance, every battle of inheritance, lift up your right hand, say every battle of inheritance in my family that has the ability to swallow me, to take my head, in the name of Jesus, I release it. I release it. I release it. I repent. In the name of Jesus, I declare today, my head will not go. My life will not go. My children's life will not go over inheritance. In the name of Jesus, I declare tonight, by myself, I will prosper. I will prosper. Everything my father had, I will have 10 times. I will have 10 times. My children will enjoy my inheritance. I will not die. I will not go down because of my father's inheritance. In the name of Jesus, I declare the last person that died in my family over that land, over that house, is the last person that will die. I remove my head. I remove my children's head. I remove my husband's head. I remove my wife's head. Can you turn that into a prayer tonight? Sheneveneko celebaria. Iramana kase prendega solabaraya. Jekekekeke. Imeleko si peteya. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Shout amen, somebody. I said in shout a louder amen. I want us to deal with the pattern of generational slavery. Generational slavery. Do you know one reason why the motto of Israel is never again? Never again. That's all their motto is. I'll tell you one of the reasons why. Their first slavery was 400 years by prophecy. It ended up in 430 years, slaves. You would have thought that's the last slavery they will experience. They entered another one in the time of Daniel, 70 years. Daniel said, no, this one will not be extended. But they just kept going from slavery to slavery. That's why they're the most prosperous people on earth today. Because they finally got their deliverance and said, never again. Are you aware, ladies and gentlemen? There are families in this place, ladies and gentlemen. No matter how educated they are, they can never be made the manager of any company. They have the qualification. They have the work experience. Anytime it's their turn to now become the branch manager, they boast somebody from another place to enter there. They have a long list of house help they produce. House help. House help. House help. Is anybody hearing me tonight? Please talk to me. Are you hearing me, somebody? Are you hearing me, somebody? Check the list. Even though they are graduates, all they have is driver, security, gate man. That's a long, you can see that long list. It's not because they are not educated. They just something that reduces them to that place. They will labor and labor. Somebody else will get the promotion. Somebody else will be transferred. Somebody else will be sent for the course. Somebody else will be posted abroad. Never them. Once is their turn, a change of policy will make sure they don't ever enter there. Is anybody hearing me tonight? It's called the pattern of generational slavery. But I stand tonight to declare, lift up your right hand. Say, oh God. Say after me, oh God. Tonight, in any way, my family is haunted by the patterns of generational slavery. I take repentance. I take repentance. Whatever sponsors it, I take repentance. I take repentance. And now I stand as priest over my family. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I declare my family, myself, we are the head, not the tail. We are the first, not the last. We are above, never beneath. We are kings, not slaves. We are kings, not slaves. And now I declare over my family, restore, 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 restore. For time's sake, let me enter the next one. I have two more to go. Are you still with me, somebody? Come on, are you still ready, somebody? Take this two more serious because it's very serious. Are you ready, somebody? Are you still ready, somebody? The pattern of premature death and destiny replacement. Displacement and replacement. It's a displacement, there's a replacement. And then the second one after this one is very dangerous. Are you still with me, somebody? 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. MSG. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Does anybody still love your family in this place? 1 Samuel 2:30. Give me my scripture, I beg you. Verse 30. Therefore, this is God's word. Now this is the story of Eli and his children. Are you still there, somebody? Story of Eli and his children. This is God's word. The God of Israel speaking. Once upon a time, I said that you and your ancestral family, is it there? Is it there? Will be my priest indefinitely. But now, God's word, remember, there is no way this can ever continue. It's called destiny displacement. It cannot continue. He said, I honor those who honor me, and those who scorn me, I demean. Next verse. Next verse. Please, I beg you. Be warned. It won't be long. I'm going to wipe out both your family and your future family. No one in your family will make it to old age. Somebody say, God forbid. You will see good things I'm doing around your neighbor. But you will see it and weep because no one in your family will live to enjoy it. Somebody say, God forbid. I will leave one person to serve at my altar. But that person that I managed to leave to be a hard life with many tears. Everyone else in your family will die before their time. Somebody say, God forbid. I can't just say, God forbid. Say for the last time, God forbid. Question is, what will make God so angry with Eli? Is the chief priest, is the high priest. How bad did he behave that God will bring that kind of curse on a pastor's family? Only one thing. Those who honor me, I will honor. Eli's children dishonored God, and Eli did nothing about it. The Bible said they made the children of Israel to stumble at the temple. I'm not going to go into details. I don't have the time. But look up here. God's will is that your family will live in a very good, long life. So lift up your right hand and say after me, say, oh God, every trace, every foundation of dishonor for God, for the church, in my family that is sponsoring premature death, every foundation of dishonor for the things of God that is responsible for premature death in my family. Tonight, I stand as priest. I take repentance. I plead the blood. I shout mercy. I shout mercy. I shout mercy. I shout mercy. Oh God, I shout mercy in the name of Jesus. And as the priest over my family, I declare we shall not die, but we shall live to declare the works of the Lord. We shall not die, but we shall live to declare the works of the Lord. Every pattern, every curse of premature death over my family is broken. Is broken. Is broken. Is broken. Is broken. Is broken. In the name of Jesus, as priest over my family, I raise an altar of long life, of long life, of longevity, divine preservation, divine protection, divine longevity over my family. And as priest over my family, I declare, restore, 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 in the name of Jesus. Let me me give you this last one. Let me give you this last one before we serve communion. Are you still there, somebody? Speak in tongues for once, for 60 seconds. Shakata neme nekoseya. Repata nanana kose lepetele. Rome nekoseya palakata la manakata. Intamanino seleve nilibakasiya. Rebedana kose lepetele mandakata. Koranene sevele impeletile. Romeko sapeliante. Remeneko supre keseta. Jande brata korata. Itatara tatali nanana kosiya. Elebede meleko soproseteya. Remeneko siatelabi. Romi kasute peleke, oramanazu lebaya, shande breta tatia. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I said in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please, please listen very attentively to what I'm about to deal with right now. I want to break the pattern of death at the peak of glory. Death at the peak of glory. Death at the peak of glory. You know, isn't it interesting? While Eli was still the chief priest, both him and his two sons died in power. Both him. And you know, something just happened in Nigeria. The chief of army staff died in power. All these years he has been suffering, didn't die. At the peak of glory. Chief of army staff is governor of a state. I hope you know. Answer me now. Is governor of a state. It's not an ordinary man. The finances within his control is more than some states in Nigeria. Sir, you know what I'm talking about, sir. It's more than some states in Nigeria. You won't die at the peak of your glory. Yeah. You will not die at the peak of your glory. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, a student suffer, scratch to pay school fees, beg to feed, finally graduate NYSE, die in accident. It's death at the peak of glory. Is anybody hearing me tonight? You finally made a first class. The whole world clapped for you, but never had the privilege of working even in a bank. You die with first class. What was the use of all that reading, suffering, labor? You will not die at the peak of your glory. You will not die at the peak of your glory. One man in my village, it's a true story. He was, listen, he's the chief of staff to General Abdul Salami. True story. We come from the same compound. This guy was the one, because of him, they approved a bridge to get into my village. What I mean, my village is river. Now, they had to, because of him, they approved a construction of a bridge so that cars can drive into my village, because cars can't enter my village because we're surrounded by water. That's how much influence it has. ADC to General Abdul Salami. His son had a birthday party in Abuja, in their mansion. The birthday party ended. He said, why don't we just all go and drop your friends at one particular part of Abuja? Himself, his three sons, all of them jumped into the car to go and drop those friends. They dropped the friends safely. Returning back, four graves, himself and three sons. The only surviving child is a girl. You won't die at the peak of your glory. I said you won't die at the peak of your glory. You will not die at the peak of your glory. Waited for 15 years to get married. You finally get married. First child, you die at childbirth. How? Fought for long to become MD of the company. Now you are MD. Cancer, you die. Visa application bounce you 25 times. You finally got to travel to UK. Die. Listen to this. You will not die at the peak of your glory. I said you won't die at the peak of your glory. You will not die at the peak of your glory. Say, oh God, I will live to enjoy the fruit of my labor. I will live to enjoy the fruit of my suffering. I shall not die, but I shall live to declare the works of the Lord. Anything and everything that is sponsoring death at the peak of glory in my family, I cut it short. I cut it. I plead the blood. I plead the blood in the name of Jesus as priest over my family. As priest over my family, I raise an altar of mercy, an altar of preservation, an altar of longevity. I shall not labor and another one will enjoy. I shall not bear someone else will inherit. I shall not suffer. Somebody else will occupy. In the name of Jesus. Can you turn it into a prayer tonight? In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please, will you allow me to deal with delay in marriage? Will you allow me to deal with delay in marriage? Let me tell you one of the reasons that a lot of people don't know responsible for delay in marriage. Number one is patterns. Patterns. But beyond patterns, what a lot of young girls don't know. And please look up here. This is a true story. God forgive me now. I was driving many years ago. I was driving with one of my uncles. And he said to me, he tried the first marriage, it didn't work. Second marriage, it didn't work. Third one, he has just been from rich guy, has everything. We're driving together and he said this to me. He said, Eddie, he calls me Eddie. He said, I think God is punishing me for what I did to girls. I said, what do you mean by that, sir? He said, you don't want to know. He was a professor at a very early age. Fine boy, professor, university in Nigeria, doing well. Professors then were professors, not professors of now. Professors have money. They drive good cars. Look up here. He said, he proposes to a girl. The girl rushes to tell the parents, Daddy, I found a husband. The whole family is excited. They cook and invite him. Everybody's waiting for him. He disappears. When it's time, when he was in days when there was no phone, you know what I'm talking about. So everybody's looking at the girl. Where the husband when you say, come now? How far with your husband? It tries to reach him, he takes off. He disappears. He said, I can't count how many girls I disgrace. He said, I'm the one that proposed. I'm the one that said I want to marry. Then finally, the girl takes me to the parents and tells the parents. And the parents say, oh yeah, come, let us see you. That day of come, let us see you, he never shows up. He said, as I'm talking to you, I think God is punishing me for what I did to many girls. It's an altar. Let's not go into the girls who said I will marry you. Train me through a suit. The man finally trained through a suit. By the time she came out, she now looked at him and said, what kind of old man is this? His money is not old, but he's old. And then you took off, but you didn't take off. Something is still following you. It's a covenant. But let me add a caveat. Can I add a caveat? If the man was sleeping with you while he was training you, you have already paid him. If the uncle was having sex with you while he was training you, I, your pastor, I want you to know you have paid. Good measure, press down, checking together, and running over. You are paid in full. The one you are owing is the one that respected your sanctity and your sanity and said, we will wait until marriage. That other uncle that slept with you don't pay. Oh. You're not owing him any longer. But ladies and gentlemen, delay in marriage is real. Is anybody hearing me? The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 2, the sons of the prophets called Elisha and said, we have a problem. The situation of this city is beautiful. But what we cannot explain, the water is barren, the land is unproductive, and when people drink it, miscarriage. Everybody look up here. The girl is educated, has everything together. We can't explain. No man is saying good morning. And when they dare to say good morning, after 6 weeks, they run away. But tonight, that's why God fixed this conference for you. Everything that has delayed your marriage, tonight they will break in the name of Jesus. I said they will break in the name of Jesus. It will break in the name of Jesus. Lift up your right and say, oh God. I can't hear you say, oh God. Every altar of delay, disobedience, compromise, sponsoring, delay in my marriage, every altar of sacrifice, speaking against my marital future and destiny, every way I have cheated somebody, lied to somebody, deceived somebody, led somebody in vain, fooled somebody, every way I scammed somebody in a relationship, tonight I take repentance. I take repentance. I take repentance. Say, I take repentance. Everywhere, my family as an altar sponsoring delayed marriage. Tonight, I stand as priest over my family. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Oh, altar, hear the word of the Lord. Let the fire of God set you ablaze. Set you ablaze. Set you ablaze. In the name of Jesus. Now I declare, in the name of Jesus, my God will bless my life, bless my family, bless my sisters, bless my brothers with marriage, with good marriages, good marriages, good homes, good families. Every delay, broken, broken, broken. And as priest over my family, I speak to every young man, every young woman concerning our marital destiny. Restore, 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 restore. Can you open your mouth and begin to give God thanks tonight? Begin to give him thanks tonight. Jemalan roko sene mene kosia. Irane kose le badaya kosila. Shete mene kosite brede mene kosia. Iretete ne mene kosi brede keselaka. Kanamosia palande shila brandi. Rete mene koso pro kosede. Ikekarete le mendi kasila brandi kasia. Rekekekekeke. Esu palako rate menia. Aramina kosombro sete liga. Jale brande kasola baradi. Ira da 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 na na kosaya. Jale bede ya koramina kosetia. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I said, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. I'm going to be inviting Apostle Ofodile to come and pray as we bring the meeting to you. But listen to this. Follow this instruction. I said, the Lord instructed me to give you communion tonight. And tonight, the communion we are serving is very easy to serve. We're just going to receive it. Everything is in one. The bread, the wine is in one. So you don't need to queue out here to come and give that communion. You know what I'm talking about? It's going to be as brisk as possible before we go. Are you still there, somebody? Come on, are you still there, somebody? Listen to the instruction. Genesis chapter 14, from verse 14 all the way to 20. I'm not reading any Bible, but let me just explain to you. The Bible said something happened to the family of Abraham. The Bible said Lot was in Gomorrah. And some three kings gathered together. They invaded the land and they kidnapped the entire family of Lot, which is related to Abraham. Abraham said, God forbid, I must fight for my family. God forbid, I will watch my family kidnap and I don't fight. He mobilized 318 of his homegrown servants. Are you still with me, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still with me, somebody? He mobilized 318 of them, went after those people. He defeated them in battle and he brought back every member of his family. Are you still there? Talk to me, are you still there? If you're walking out at this time, you don't know why you came to this place, except you have an emergency. If you walk out at this point, if you have come this far, why will the devil cheat you? Abraham said, God forbid, I must fight for my family. Is anybody here fighting for your family? Yeah. He came after them, recovered Lot, recovered every one of member of the family. The Bible says he was returning back. Here comes a gentleman. His name is Melchizedek. The Bible recorded that man, as he met Abraham, said, Abraham, come. The Bible said he served him bread and served him wine. Now, the interesting thing about this man is that the Bible says his name is Melchizedek, which by interpretation means, number one, the king of Salem, and number two, also the king of righteousness. So this man is, number one, a politician, a king. Secondly, he's also a priest. Hebrews told us later on that this man has no origin, no father, no mother. Actually, that man was a type of the Christ in the old covenant. That's why the priesthood of Christ is after the pattern of Melchizedek. Are you still there? Please answer, are you still there? Why did he give him bread and wine? Because every time you do the work of restoration for your family, you seal it up with communion. Every time. Is there anybody who has recovered your family tonight? Is anyone here who has recovered your family tonight? Every time you do the work of recovering, of restoring your family, you must end it with bread and wine, which is communion. Are you there, somebody? But that's not the end of the story. Abraham, and he called Abraham, I say, Abraham, he says, possessor of the heaven and the earth. And he blessed Abraham. And as soon as he finished serving him the communion, the bread and the wine, Abraham said, covenant is always a two-way traffic. I have collected the bread and the wine, but I also brought some spoil from the war, from the battle I went for. And Abraham took a tenth. The Bible calls it a tithe of everything he had gathered, and he gave it back to Melchizedek. That's the origin of tithe is not that somebody commanded tithe. It was actually a sign of covenant with your business and your job. Number two, it's also a sign that I did not win the war. I did not make it this far by my strength. I did not defeat the enemy by my power. It was only the hand of God that did it. And that God that did it for me, I return back in gratitude. Is anybody hearing me? Abraham said, he returned back a tenth of everything and said, I give it to you. The Lord said, I should tell you tonight that as we do this work of restoration for our family, on behalf of your family, take a willing seed and return it back to him. The communion will be given to you, but don't let it end there, because that is not a covenant. It's always a two-way thing. As the communion comes to you, the Lord said, on behalf of your family, take a seed. Take a precious seed and give it back to him. And listen to this. If you have no conviction about what I said, nobody is putting you under obligation to do it. But if you understand why you are here tonight, and if you understand that an entire family's destiny is dependent on your obedience, then you understand what I'm talking about tonight. Please look up here, gentlemen. We are in a Kairos moment tonight. There's a reason why this night was fixed for you. And there's a reason why you are here tonight. And can I prophesy over you at the end of this meeting? Get ready. Because inside that marriage, inside that family, you will go from back to back marriages in the name of Jesus. Inside that family, I declare you will enjoy longevity of life like never before in the name of Jesus. That pattern of cancer that generations have been diagnosed of, sugar diabetes, high blood pressure. Look up here. Look up here. I was in year 2 in Port Harcourt in the university. My father wears glasses, has eye problem. My mother wears glasses, has eye problem. It was a pattern. Year two, I'm looking at you. I'm seeing a figure. I can't see you very well. I was in deeper life. Nobody talks about seed in deeper life. It was a forbidden subject matter. But one day, one afternoon, I finished lectures. It was embarrassing that day because my classmate was in front of me. I was trying to recognize him. And I said, no. If I accommodate this thing, my children too will suffer it. Is anybody hearing me? I got back to Hostel F. I knelt down on my two knees. I said, Lord, can we end this thing? I don't want you to continue with me. Heal my eyes. I said, Lord, heal my eyes. Take away this thing that I can't see far. Heal me of this thing. I said, I want to enter a covenant with you. Listen, I prayed that prayer. I got up. I took literally everything I had in the hostel. I walked straight to the female hostel. Our accountant, her name is Bariton Kumbe, an Ogoni lady. I went up to her. I didn't tell her why I was bringing it. She didn't pray for me. I handed over everything to her. I said, take it. But I said to God, I said, Lord, we have entered the covenant. My eye will not suffer lack of sight. That's why at 57, I'm not wearing glasses. Not. We enter the covenant. I said, my children will not suffer this thing. No. I want it to end with my father, not continue with me. I understood covenant and I said, I'm willing. I don't, student money, how much was it? It may not be more than 3,000 or 2,000 naira at that time. But it wasn't the volume of what I had. It was the obedience of hearts that connected the exchange. Is anybody hearing me? It was the power of the exchange. Tonight, before, I'm going to ask you to decide whatever you want to give to God. But before we do so, I want Apostle to come and make a prophetic word and bless the communion so we can release it. And then you can go home, have enough time to refresh. And then you can go for the Just Worship concert for the rest of the night. I give you permission to dance your way to tomorrow morning at Just Worship. But let us finish this matter. Let some family enjoy peace, enjoy prosperity, enjoy preservation. Shout amen, somebody. Yeah. Apostle.
Somebody shout hallelujah. When you take the communion today, I want you to know that the hand of God will follow you everywhere. Yeah. You see, when God brought Israel out of captivity, that was in prophecy, God brought them out of captivity by a name. That name was the I am that I am. Number two, the second way that God brought them out of captivity and brought them to the promise was called the hand of God. He said, by a mighty hand I will retrieve you and I will bring you into glory. When you take the communion today, the hand of God will come upon you and your family. Yeah. What does, for you to understand, let me just summarize everything Ed said. You know, we'll call ourselves, we'll have our own name, Pastor Ed. Jeremiah 15 verse 10. At the communion, can they start sharing the communion to them? Please, can you distribute the communion? Because if you have it, we're going to pray over it. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 15 verse 10. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast born me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. Can you imagine that? He didn't say a man of contention in my local village. He said, I'm a man of contention where? In the whole earth. I have neither learned on usury, nor men have learned to me on usury. Yet, every one of them that curse me. Just, if this is a story of a man, the man is finished. Nothing is left again. Lift up your hand. Can you say, Heavenly Father? The Bible says, oh no, I need you to respond to me. Can I hear you say, Heavenly Father? The Bible says, whatever I disallow
will be disallowed.
By the decrees I have made today in this conference, which I am sealing with this communion, and by the offering I will bring to you, I disallow in the name of Jesus everything that we have condemned today. I declare them condemned forever. Their covenant with day and night, by the blood of Jesus, I cancel them. Their handwritings on the earth, by the blood of Jesus, I wipe them away. Their power over man today comes to an end. And the power of spirits that have kept their ways over my life, over my family, today I decree their end is now. Their end is now. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Now notice the prayer you just prayed. You said the power of day and night, meaning the seasons and the cycles of all that you have condemned, from today they come to an end. The day will not keep their covenant. The night will not keep their covenant. It's only God that lives in eternity. Everything about man must happen within time. And the two gates of time is day and night, the sun, the moon, and the stars. So when you pray like that, you will notice that for God to judge Satan and bring an end of a cycle, when Jesus was on the cross, everything became dark. Yes, please, when you have the communion, just hold it, because the communion has to bear witness. We'll eat it together. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, all the lights had to be shut down. For 3 hours, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything went dark. And at 3 o'clock, he said, it is finished. Can he say, as I hold this communion in my hand, I declare the power of the altar of Jesus that shut down the lights. By that same power today, I declare all the cycles that we have disallowed today, they remain disallowed forever. No day on earth shall make room for it. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Lift up that communion. Can you say, I declare, it is finished. Shout
it,
number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. Screaming number seven. Psalm chapter 95, verse 3 and 4. The hand of God. Psalm 95 rather. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Now let's look at the next verse. Oh my God. Before we get there, can you say Heavenly Father? I declare that when I take this communion, the way of Jeremiah 15 verse 10 has come to an end in my life. No part of the earth will curse me. No man on the earth will curse me. This is the communion of my blessing, both in heaven and on earth. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Now look at the hand of the Lord. Can we read this together? In his hands are where? The deep places of what? The earth. The strength of the hills is also his. How many of you agree that when you take this communion today, You're entering a covenant with the hand of God. I repeat, it was by a strong and mighty hand that he delivered Israel and brought them to the land of promise. It says in that hand, everyone say that hand is what? Are the deep places of the earth. Now, listen. Oh, I can feel the anointing of prosperity already. When the Bible talks about the deep places, then it said the hills are his also. Listen. What is going to distinguish the church from the world are called treasures hidden in darkness. What will distinguish us from the world is the guide of his spirit that will bring us into the things that the ordinary man can never have. That is one of the great glory of this conference in these 3 days so far. Because he kept talking about the prosperity of your soul, bringing yourself to the place where you understand that the spirit world is more real than the natural world. That you cannot live by your strength alone, but by the power of his spirit. That's my takeaway from the meeting. But I want to show you just one psalm about the hand of the Lord so that you can understand what I am talking about. I think it's Psalm 10. Just hold on 1 minute. That you know that when you enter into covenant with this hand, is Psalm 95. Hallelujah. Is Psalm 95. We've done Psalm 95. Go to Psalm 104 verse 24. The power of the hand of God. The other one we already know. I am the I am that I am. By a strong and mighty hand. You will notice that all the miracles. He said, what do you hold in your hands? He said, go. All the miracles in your hands. By them, Pharaoh will let you go. The hands of the Lord. The Bible says that the horns of his power. Now, how does God feed the earth? How does God keep man? Oh Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. From today, the riches of the earth shall be found in your house. Oh, God's manifold wisdom shall be found in your house. He called them manifold. In Job, he called them unsearchable riches without numbers. You can't count them. Look at scripture. Let's move to the next verse. Let's move it quickly. Move it, move it, move it, move it. He said, so is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. Today, the hand of God will give you the innumerable blessings. Can I ask you to be a little bit crazy? Can you give beyond, can you give beyond what you have ever imagined? But when you finish it, when you finish the communion, do everything. Just wake up early in the morning or in the evening. Just pick up dust, sand from the dust and try and count it. And I tell the Lord, as I can't count this, because you cannot. He said he will give me. You heard Selman say that an old woman told him, you will walk what? On gold like dust. He didn't just say gold. Because you can't count dust. Go and try. There were two things that magic cannot count. I believe it. And this I give to you. For this I have eaten. In this war conference. When you finish, just spread it out in the wind and watch and see what God does. Now move it so that we can wrap this up now. Now, next verse 26. Dear God, the sheep, dear is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. All this mommy, what I would they fear? God, they take them play. But let's move on. Let's leave that. That's not where we're going. Now, please pay attention. These wait all upon thee that thou givest them. That thou givest them their meat in due season. How does he give them? Now, let's read the next verse together. Can we read this together? That thou givest them the God. Thou dost what? Open thy hand, and they are filled with good. I prophesy today, whosoever shall take of this communion, the hand of the Lord shall be open to you. I say, the hand of the Lord shall be open to you. I say, from today, God's hand will follow you everywhere. Next verse. Thou hidest thy face, they are what? Troubled. Thou takest away their bread, they die, and return where? To their dust. So both the hand of God and the face of God will be for you for good. Amen. Now, but look at the one I like most. Look at that. Thou sendest forth what? They are what? Thou renewest the face of the earth. The Bible says the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. When you take of this communion today, the hand of God, the face of God, and his spirit will follow you and restore unto you every generational blessing that your family has lost in the name of Jesus. I say, in the name of Jesus. I say, in the name of Jesus. Psalm chapter 81. I'm going to sound a trumpet to bring down the spirits of heaven to follow you everywhere. And by the way, it is by sound you open the gate for new seasons. Psalm chapter 81 verse 1. Look at scripture, my beloved. When I sound the sound, he said, to the chief musician upon Gidit, a psalm of Asaph, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of who? Jacob. Now look at the next verse. Take a psalm, bring together the timbrel, the present harp, and the psaltery. Now let's read the next verse. Stop there. What does a new moon mean? A new beginning. Every new cycle must come with sound. It is called Abaruba, the carryover sound. These are the ordinances of heaven. That's why when the Master Yeshua shall come, it will be by the sound. It is called the sound of resurrection. Look at that. Take it back to scripture. Listen. Blow up the trumpet we are in the new moon. In the time what? Appointed. On our solemn what? Yeah, without sound, it can never be complete. So, do you all agree that when I sound this sound now, it is the sound that says restore? Are you in agreement? Everybody say restore. Shout it again, restore. I want to plead with you. Don't allow the enemy to cheat you. It's about your family. This kind of giving is not the giving that you rack sense. I repeat, don't rack sense. I can't give you testimonies now because Pastor wants us to close on time. But if I start giving you testimonies, I'm a living epistle. I am a reality. I'm a written. I am a walking revelation of the product and the power of sowing by revelation, by light. He gave a tithe of all, and he called him possessor of where? Heaven and earth. If you go to Genesis 15, thereafter God met him. The camp of angels followed him everywhere. Angels will follow you everywhere. When you go look at Numbers 10:10, you will find out something. That they don't only come, sir. Do you know that when Israel comes, they don't only sound the trumpet. They bring their offerings. And at the end, all their offerings are brought together. You know how they end it? They sound the trumpet over the offering. Numbers 10:10, you will see it exactly like that. Today, is there something that has been emptying your life? When I sound, the spirits are coming. Are you in agreement? Just say, Heavenly Father. Shout it again, Heavenly Father. I enter a new season of restore. Say, I enter a new season of restore. Establish. Enlarge. Shout it again. Restore. Establish. Enlarge. When this sound is sounded, I welcome heaven to the earth realm. All the things I've disallowed, let them cut them off and let there be a restoration. Can I hear you say amen? Father, I am a child, but your spirit taught me your ways. Today, Baba, take off this from me. At the sound of this, you know each man here, family by family. You know the vision behind why you commanded your son to gather us under the team restore. You saw the travails of his soul as he began to guide us to prayer. The letter kill it, but the spirit gives life. I sound this sound to you in your name, Jehovah Jireh, that you will see to it that all the prayers were prayed and all that you have appointed to do in this conference, not one shall fail. At the sound of this trumpet, Master Jesus, according to Revelation 19, ride upon your white horse with your army and march triumphantly into the issues of the earth, settling the affairs of every man here, their families, their children, the works of their hands, in the name of Jesus. Today, when we drink and we give to you, confirm your words with signs and wonders follow. And I declare, no delay. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. The answers to this will not be deferred. Therefore, today I obey you, Father. I follow the ancient ways of Scripture, and I sound the sound of our liberty.
Go ahead. We're going to do this right now. Just open the two layers on the communion. The first one is the bread. The second one is the wine. Now, just before we partake of them, I want you to lift up your seed. Whatever seed you are giving to God, lift it up. We're just going to bless them right now. Some of us already made transfer. If you haven't done so, make the transfer. Lift up the seed. Father, it's on behalf of our families, is the exchange that we make as you announce a new day, as you announce a new season, as you open and launch us into the dawn of a new day, as you bring laughter and smile. You have made a proclamation by the sounding of the trumpet. It's a new day. Trumpet is a sign of celebration. It's a sign of independence. It's a sign of restoration. As this trumpet is sounded, we decree and declare our families, our household, our homes will never stop to celebrate and to enjoy the newness of the season of restoration in the mighty name of Jesus. And now we release these sacrifices by faith. We ask, as they go before you, let the exchange take place. Let the sound of restoration never cease to resonate, never cease to manifest around our lives and around our families in the mighty name of Jesus. Alongside with the seed, I consecrate the emblems of the communion, representing the body and the blood of your Son, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now receive that communion before we share the grace.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org.